Man, the intro music always leaves us so much like to live up to, right? Like and like I'm sitting here like first thing on a Saturday morning, and I just want to be like, hey, welcome to Voices. And you just can't. Anyway, hello everybody. It's me, your boy, this season's Black Ranger, Ben Taylor. Back with another episode of VFTG, and with me is our current White Ranger, I think.
Blue Ranger.
Green, pink, yellow. Who knows what's going on at this point?
I am the color Aqua Velva.
Yes. Aqua Velva Ranger, Mike Lindenbaum. How you doing, buddy?
I'm awake.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. For those who don't know, like, obviously we record this out in it as far in advance as we can, and we have the turbo season going out as we're recording this season.
Yeah.
But Ben and I are also doing a double recording session for another podcast after this episode.
Yeah.
So, and then I gotta leave the beast somewhere.
We're here today to talk about two episodes. We're gonna talk about The Impenetrable Web and A Line in the Sand. And I have some opinions. Now, as you can see from the positioning of this episode in the order for our season, these are the last two episodes before the finale. This is also the only episode that Mike and I are recording together that isn't a group episode, which is
weird.
I'm not sure how that worked out.
And we usually do a pretty good job of making sure we all get even number of episodes together throughout a season. I don't know how this one happened.
So, The Impenetrable Web is first. It is a story that is basically the introduction of Zane's go-kart that will be used in this episode and the next episode, and then we'll never see it again. Pretty much.
Hey, he had to go race on the Rainbow Bridge, okay?
Yeah, yeah. He and Tommy Oliver are racing around a track somewhere.
I was doing a Mario Kart reference, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know, but I was pulling it back to Power Rangers. And also, you said Rainbow Bridge, not Ranger Road. And the Rainbow Bridge is from Thor. So we're just mixing every franchise.
Might as well at this point.
So there's a lot to talk about with Impenetrable Web. Where to start? I think we should start with kind of the elephant in the room, right? That this episode really starts what has at this point become tradition of everything slowly going to heck for the Rangers, right? That a lot of people in the fandom credit in space with sort of making the standard, even though every Ranger season at this point had been doing that, just in space somewhat executed it a little better, right?
I mean, Turbo, you saw the dominoes falling leading up to its finale.
Yeah.
I mean, with Mighty Morphin, it was a little weirder.
Yeah, because they lost Zords like every other episode.
Well, it's not just really that, but like if you remember between, they didn't have that at the end of season one, and it was like that little three-parter.
No, but they'd had Doomsday earlier on, hadn't they?
Well, kind of, but like it, but they never had that eternal struggle literally leading to the very end.
Well, I mean, they did. They had the whole like world getting turned back in time, and
I think that was a later season.
Well, I'm talking about Mighty Morphing. Like, Mighty Morphing ended with...
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, season one of
Mighty Morphing. No, I'm talking about eras like, of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but if you looked at it from a seasonal thing, you didn't really start seeing that probably
right,
until
but
about...
Mighty Morphing wasn't Turbo. Set up in seasonal arcs.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. Yeah, Mighty Morphing wasn't set up as a seasonal arc. It was set up as an ongoing series.
Yeah. Whereas if you look at Turbo, I kind of credit Turbo really as kind of the true beginning of.
I mean, Zio had that. I mean,
Yeah. Well,
never
Zio
gonna
had theirs in a movie.
still happened. The Zio powers just went away. Never to be referenced again. But yeah, I just wanted to say that, like, I think, and it's something we've brought up a lot this season. I know I've brought it up quite a lot, is how the overarching plot being more important to this season with the disappearance of Zordon and how dire everything gets makes this conclusion arc of things getting blown up and destroyed and that kind of thing rather feel a little more weighty than maybe in previous seasons, which is why In Space kind of is known for being the season that does it. So we have an episode where the bad guys have the upper hand like the entire episode, and arguably even after the episode, as the Rangers are lured to a planet with a false message. The megaship is wrapped in this the titular impenetrable web. And the Rangers are then sort of attacked, defeated, kind of, but yet not quite. And then, what is the actual through line of the episode is a Ecliptor breaking into the megaship, tracking down where the other Zords are held, and going to blow them up. And overall, how did you feel about sort of, mean, the stuff on the planet is somewhat throwaway, right? Because the Ecliptor is the main sort of line
Yeah,
of the story.
Ecliptor is the main story.
How did you feel about the two halves of the story?
I definitely felt the Ecliptor side of things was good. I also love how Alpha and Decca were essentially combating Ecliptor the entire time to try to stall him as best as they could.
I did like it, but I hated it all at once.
Yeah. I mean, like they stalled him as much as they could.
Yeah.
Like they didn't defeat him.
I have a note here that says for an episode that is two episodes from the end and the darkest hour of the Power Rangers, there are periods of this episode that are far too much like Home Alone for my liking. Because there's that moment where like they scatter the balls on the floor and he's like doing the comedy pratfalls and
And then stuff with like the bay door.
yeah. Well, the bay door thing was pretty cool because it wasn't really Home Alone-y, but like the bit where like Decker just tilts to the side a bit and everything falls on him and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but ultimately but the key thing is that they tried. Because Ecliptor was able to find a power source to power himself up into a different form, which made him almost impenetrable. And then he was still able to damage the Mega V Zords and then destroy the Delta Megazord. So like he still was very successful in what he sought out to do, no matter how much Alpha and Decca tried to stall him.
So
And
speaking
even
of
how much the Power Rangers, once they finally got back into it, tried
yeah,
to.
speaking of Ecliptor's new form, the red form, right? I wish they'd done a bit of a, and this is kind of why I wasn't up for the Home Alone japes and jabs, right? Is they could have spent that time explaining what was going on, because You don't actually see him transform from like black and green Ecliptor to red Ecliptor. He just jams himself with like a power conduit from the mega ship, and then the next time you see him, he's red, right?
And
And you're
just
like,
going, oh, I'm all powerful.
you're like, what? I
Never
think they
fear.
could, yeah.
But never fear. The power of teamwork is the only way you could take him down.
Yeah.
Or at least that form.
Yeah. And up until he loses his plot armor, he's incredibly effective, right? He's beating Zane up, which we'll get to in a minute. He poses a set the Delta Megazord. He damages the normal the Mega Voyager, right? And then again, he loses his plot armor and then turns black and green again, and then loses a fight and disappears. All this time, the Rangers have been stranded on this planet, and there's this noticeable moment where, when the megaship is wrapped in the titular web, the Rangers are forced to demorph, indicating to me and almost everybody else that their powers must be linked to the ship. Yes.
Yes, I agree with that.
So later in the episode, Zane shows up morphed. How?
Where is it? I do have a note about that. I also have a note about the next thing where Andros calls for the red
Oh, we'll
battleizer.
get to that. We'll get to that.
And like, how are you able? I mean, unless the go-kart or the Galactic Rover
Yeah.
is a conduit that allows him, but I've no clue.
But you are right. There is a moment after the Rangers are freed from the Quantrons, that Andros just calls on the Red Battleizer. Battleizer is so dumb in this season. Did they really need to give it a prosthetic butt? I'm just saying. And I'll say it every time I see that Battleizer. But yeah, he calls on the Battleizer and he flies up into space. Now, earlier in the episode, when the web had first surrounded the megaship, Andros had commanded Decker and Alpha to shoot this web with all weapons on the megaship at full power. And it didn't even dent it, right?
Yep.
However, two missiles from the Battleizer blows the web apart.
Oh, and real quick to your Battleizer comment about the booty. It was filmed in 97, aired in 98. What was the big movie then for superheroes?
I
Batman and Robin. What was one of the big shots they always did in Batman and Robin?
That's true. That's true.
So, I just
That's
wanted to throw
true.
that little point out there.
But yeah, other than like seeing Decker and Alpha at the beginning playing like 4D chess, which is a prop straight out of Star Trek, by the way. This didn't, other than like the last like 3 or 4 minutes, I felt like this episode just didn't feel like much, which for the, what's the one before penultimate? Well, the third from last episode, basically.
Oh, Line in the Sand.
No, Line in the Sand is the penultimate episode,
No.
technically. But Impenetrable Web is the third from last episode. And I feel they could have been doing a lot more with the Zordon stuff here. There is a bit of the arc with the eclipse door and all that going through it, but the Rangers themselves don't have a whole lot to do in this episode. They get beaten up by Quantrons. Overall, I just feel like this was a bit of a waste of an episode, right?
I think the only point of this episode was to just start taking Zords away.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
But I think they could have done it better.
like they definitely came in with the mindset of like, okay, we need to kind of start taking things away from the Rangers so we can do, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be surprised that they scripted out Countdown to Destruction first.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then went backwards and go, okay, now how do we get to this point? And they
And
did.
this was something I will repeat during Line in the Sand. I just think they could have done it better. They could have the Rangers involved a bit more, stuff like that. However, as those of you who have listened to the episodes I've hosted know, with Mega Ranger being so different from Power Rangers in Space, I have been doing my best to reach out to our resident Sentai friend, Brian Massey, our currently pink, I think, Ranger. Colors are skew if at this point. And ask him for some basic notes on the episodes of the Sentai and how they kind of compare. Brian went a little ham on this episode. He sent me a message a couple of days ago. Said, "Hey man, I've just finished the notes for the Impenetrable Web. It's 5 pages of a Google Doc." And I went, "What?" He sent me this Google Doc which underlines every single difference, the context for everything. I love you, Brian, but I had to send him a message that said, "Can you give it to me in like four paragraphs?
Can I have a bullet points version, please?
Can you give me the cliff notes?"
Too long, didn't read cliff
TL.
notes.
Oh no, I absolutely read it because it was quite interesting. Just too long. So here is Brian's shortened version of the events of the Impenetrable Web, aka Episode 50, Sublime, the Red Hot Super Soldier, Uganda. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but I apologize if I'm not. So here we go. While Andros and company are busy trying to free the Astro Megazord from a web, rescue some Nassada crew, and keep Eclipdoor from gaining access to the Power Rangers Mega Voyager, the Mega Rangers are actually being forced to deal with becoming town pariahs after their secret identities have been revealed. While Eclipdoor turns into Red Eclipdoor for this episode, when he falls in battle, he just reverts to regular old green and black Eclipdoor. In Mega Ranger, when Iugande dies fighting for Shibalina, somebody greatly cares for, he actually dies. It would seem that, be it Shibalina or Astronomer, this character cares greatly for her and considers himself a true father figure to them. One big difference is how both Eclipdoor and Iugande gain their red appearance and power-ups. While Eclipdoor gains his red cut upgrade from the energy in his body absorbed through the computer network, Iugande gains it from a special circuit upgrade that Shibalina reluctantly implants in him, warning him that it could cause him to die in battle, which is, again, something I think I would have liked a bit more of an explanation in the Power Rangers episode. Eclipdoor travels to Ganymede merely to destroy the mega vehicles, while Iugande attacks the Inet moon base, which is, Inet is the Mega Ranger sort of unit, right? And Rangers that he thought were hiding out there. Eclipdoor goes to Earth to cause destruction, while Iugande travels there to confront and kill the Mega Rangers. Kryptor returns to his usual form, but Ugande's reactor overloads and causes him to have a physical reaction. And while we would see Ecliptor live in the next episode, Iugande would not. Both he and Shibalina die before the credits roll on the episode, while Astronomer and Ecliptor are safe and sound. Also, in the impenetrable web, Zane reveals the Galactic Rover. No such item exists in Mega Ranger. And most importantly, the impenetrable web would be one of the final four episodes of In Space. There was still much more story to tell. In Mega Ranger, this is the actual penultimate episode. The final battle is being set up. This is the final round between the Mega Rangers and Dr. Hinlier, and you feel it in these fights. You feel it in the destruction of the iNet base. You feel it in the desperation of Professor Kubota and his getting his hands dirty to buy the Mega Rangers more time by piloting Galaxy Mega in against an enemy he knows is stronger than he is. Like, to me, that sounds a lot like the episode I would much rather have seen.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's and it's interesting because about a month ago from when we're recording this, I Shout Factory for the Toku Shoutsu Twitch channel
Yeah.
finally started showing Super Sentai. And Mega Ranger was one of the C series that they had. And it was interesting. I didn't get to watch any of the finale stuff just because of like, you know, what time they would air the episodes, and they would always air the episodes in the order that they came out in. But it was interesting seeing those differences, like as you're talking about it, like it's like, yeah, I remember iNet seeing that, and like, because there's a crew that's actually there that aids the Rangers and stuff like
Yeah.
that. So it's like, it's very interesting, you know, because again, I never got to see those finales. And please, Shout TV, whatever you're calling yourselves today, give us a straight up Super Sentai Twitch channel. You
Yeah.
can give it to Kamen Rider, Ultraman, Digimon, you know, all the kaiju movies, but yet they get to be aired all the time on the Toku Shoutsu channel, and yet Super Sentai gets nothing. Come on. Just give us a
Yeah.
Super Sentai channel.
Yeah.
If the others can have it, so can they.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, so Impenetrable Web was just that with the exception of the destruction of the Zords, right? Which I know I'm saying is kind of the through line of the episode, but doesn't really happen until like the last 2, 3 minutes of the episode. Everything else I think could have been completely restructured to make a bit more sense, to give a bit more sort of import to Ecliptor's upgrade, that kind of thing, right?
I mean, I can see, because at the end of the day, it's still a kid's show, the struggle that the Rangers have with the Quantrons. Now, like, obviously, when I'm watching it, I'm going, like, how are they having trouble with these Quantrons? They can beat them up easily. They've done it before on Morph. They can do it again. But then it's kind of like, okay, if you're a kid and you see them being outnumbered the way they are, I can see the, you know, and I'm doing air quotes here, everyone, struggle with that. And, you know, saving the Zords for being, or at least the Mega V Zords being damaged and the Delta Megazord being outright destroyed. Saving those for the very end, especially with you, the next thing you see is next time on Power Rangers. Like, it leaves that shock for the kids. And that's, you know, and I can kind of see why they did it the way they did, but then when you're like us, much older, watching it back, you know, it kind of goes, this kind of doesn't make sense. I see how it makes sense for the kids, and it makes them want to go, okay, what happens next? But yeah, it's I see it from both perspectives of the thing.
So I think that kind of wraps up Impenetrable Web. So we'll move on to A Line in the Sand at this point.
Cue
Now,
Evolution's theme song.
I was going to say, now, this episode was originally the entire reason Mike and I wanted to record this episode, because we are both rather large wrestling fans. And any opportunity to reference one of the greatest wrestling stables of all time, Evolution, who has a line in their theme song that talks about a line in the sand. We were going to take, but then I watched the episode.
Yeah. I don't think we could go with like, well, one, we're not going to play the song for copyright reasons. We don't want to get struck down on like YouTube or something like that. But the second thing was is that it's not evolution is a mystery. It's what?
Yes, quite literally. What?
I don't
This.
feel at one point, at any point in this episode, that there's a line in the sand being drawn.
No. No. So, to give a general overview of the episode, we are in the episode before Countdown to Destruction. We are in the penultimate episode or penultimate episode of the season, basically. Yes, I know Count the Destruction is two parts, but it's one story. Give me a break. What a mess. Basically, the Power Rangers that have spaceships get run over by a car a lot. That's it. That's the plot of the episode.
Yeah. And not just any car, a Humvee.
Yeah.
Because if I remember right, I think around that time was when like Hummers and Humvees were coming a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we start off the episode, and Ashlos and Andros and Ashley are on a date. Now, bear in mind at the end of the last episode, when they had destroyed the Delta Megazord and damaged the Mega Voyager, there was a conversation between Ecliptor and Astronomer that's like, the time to strike is now while we have the advantage. But yet we're getting to see Andros and Ashley on a date, and Carlos is off playing football. By which I mean football and not hand egg. I mean football. It doesn't feel like they're sending the same message at the end of the last episode, the beginning of this one, are they?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely confusing.
Yeah.
And I know they use the Ashley Andros or a Astros, as you almost said
Yeah.
there for a second. They use that obviously as the setup for the whole Humvee thing and
Yeah.
everything like that.
And don't get me wrong, it's nice to see Ashley and Andros out on a date and they're just talking about stuff, right? They're holding hands, they're going for a walk, and like he's telling her about like this movie star from another planet in holographic films, and she's talking to him about going to get some food, right? And it's just a date, right? And it's really nice to see because I'm fairly sure any time we saw Kim and Tommy doing anything sort of date wise, they just ended up talking about Power Ranger stuff,
Yeah.
right? But they were holding hands, and that's the only difference, right? This actually felt like they were on a date, right? Which was quite kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit on a couple things with what I'm about to say, but like when you see it starting off with the date.
Yeah.
It almost feels like this episode should have gone before the impenetrable web because you have them let them have that sense of normalcy.
And then everything
And
starts
then
rolling downhill.
this is
Yeah.
the episode where obviously this episode the Mega Voyager does get destroyed. You know, this could have been the one where instead of Mega Voyager, it's the Delta Megazord. Goes in this one, And then you go into the next one where it's like Astronema and Ecliptor sets the trap on Forza, which was the planet that had the distress signal. And, you know, that sends the Rangers there. And then you have that thing. And then next thing you know, you have, you know, the Mega
Raising
Voyager.
stakes, yeah.
Yeah, Mega Voyager is now destroyed in that episode because then you really have the literal line in the sand at that point. So, like, it
Yeah, I
feels like these
think,
two should have been flipped.
and the beginning of this episode definitely doesn't help Impenetrable Web, right? It definitely doesn't help the way you look at it. But as they're out on their date, there is a Humvee with red lights, red headlights, that tries to run them down several times. And this is the beginning of a big freaking issue I have with this entire episode. There is a common internet meme popularized by CinemaSins called the Prometheus School of Running Away from Things, where you just run away from things in a straight line. And rather than doing things like stepping out of the way of the car or standing next to it so that its turning circle can't get to you, the Power Rangers decide in every scene they're in with the car to just run directly away from it. That thing that cars are really good at doing, going in straight lines.
But don't get me started on the Cassie TJ one. Don't, not like, you know what, let me get started on the Cassie TJ one. How do they go from morphing and being chased by the Humvee on a dirt road and then end up morphing and then now they're on a freshly paved road? How do.
Also, do they all forget they have gliders that can fly?
Well, Cassie remembered that, but
Look,
didn't do it
because she grabbed
effectively.
him and then stayed at ground level.
Yeah. Well, like I
Go
said, she did it, but
up.
not effectively.
Go up. Cars cannot fly.
Least we don't know if this one could, you know.
So, another thing, I'm not in what is a shock for me. I'm not going to get overly nitpicky about this, but there are several times throughout this episode that you see the car, the evil car, who, by the way, the name is Tankenstein. A plus, 100% grade A, brilliant Power Rangers villain name. Tankenstein. We'll get onto it in a minute. You see Tankenstein. There are many establishing shots in this episode that set up the area that they're in, right? They also set up the fact that Tankenstein couldn't be where it goes in several of these scenes. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and list them all, but they're pretty noticeable. But yes. The thing with the red glowy things tries to run down Andros and Ashley, fails and disappears. The next morning, Andros and Ashley are telling this story to Cassie and TJ, who are like, "Oh, we should tell Carlos." And they're like, "We're gonna go do that,"
Have a
even though they have
communicator.
communicators. So they leave to go find Carlos, who is playing football, and the ball gets kicked off. He goes to pick it up, and he gets run over by the car. The car, which has suddenly developed the ability to shoot lasers in front of it that capture the Power Rangers. When the night before, he could have done the same thing to Andros and Ashley and just didn't. Because they were right in front of it.
I think Tankenstein had a more murderous approach the night before
Yeah.
and then was told, hey, just capture them. You don't have to kill them, just capture them.
Yeah. So Cassie and TJ go to find Carlos. And they go to the game that was being played and go, "Hey, have you seen Carlos?" And they're like, "No, he went to go get a ball and never came back." So two things about this. One, all of the people that were playing with him never went to look for him. And two, the ball he went after, you know, the one they were playing the game with, is still where Carlos dropped it. So how do they keep playing the game?
Obviously, they have multiple balls, but they
Well, you just go
still,
get it.
yeah.
So anyway, there's a whole scene with Cassie and TJ and Tankenstein and them trying to avoid Tankenstein, and one thing leads to another, and they get captured as well, right? Because again, the Prometheus school of running away from things.
And it should be noted that when Cassie and TJ are captured, and they're dropped in the barren desert, they are now cut off from the megaship. So they
Yeah,
are
there's no communications. They don't know where they are.
so they're unmorphed and everything. So
So back on the megaship, Alpha then says, "Oh, I've lost the signal from Cassie and TJ," indicating that he would have lost the signal from Carlos as well, which means he could have warned Cassie and TJ not to go after Carlos. Then we get to Tankenstein. And my note says, "Look, the Rangers losing a fight to a thing that can only drive in straight lines on roads was spurious enough. But I was banking on it being someone driving the car. Nope, it's a sentient Humvee called Tankenstein. Like, what the morphing hell? Who wrote this?"
If only Hasbro had owned Power Rangers, then they could have gotten their true Transformers crossover.
Right.
Even though I hate Transformers, even I find that funny.
Yeah, like Tankenstein is an A plus Power Rangers villain name. Mwah. Chef's kiss. But a sentient car. In the penultimate episode, the episode before the darkest Power Rangers gets to this point, is a sentient car. Right. I'm going to come out and say it. This episode offends me.
Let's be honest, Ben. We were both offended after we watched the episode, and it was called A Line in the Sand, and we couldn't even properly cue up Evolution's theme song to this thing.
No, it's not even that. I am an outspoken proponent of the pizza episode of Turbo, right? An episode that people widely claim might be the worst episode of Power Rangers ever made. Except for that episode knows it's stupid, right? It plays the episode for laughs. There's slapstick, there's timing, there's comedy. It is played for laughs. This episode, oh, sorry. The other thing about the episode is it's a filler episode. Nothing of note really happens. This is a pivotal arc episode in which Zords get destroyed at the end. It is the episode before the final finale two-parter. And I would go as far to say the concept of this episode is so stupid, it rivals the pizza episode. Except for this episode is taking itself too seriously. Your monster is a sentient car, not a transformer. Not a cyborg. A sentient car. You know those two things from Turbo that everyone But like, that's real stupid when the Power Rangers got them. It's those. It's like evil car that Justin showed up in the earlier episodes of the season. It's so stupid. And yet people deride the pizza episode, but they laud everything in space. And the fact that this is the penultimate episode, oh, cooks my goose. I'm so morphing sick of this. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah. But Ashley and Andrews, it goes after them again. They
In a
actually,
car for some reason.
yeah, and then they get out of their car. At least Andrews has some whereabout of like, hey, let me try to attack it, and he puts up somewhat of a good fight.
Speaking of, Andrew summons the Battleizer,
Yes.
flies into the sky, and shoots this thing a couple of missiles that don't even dent it. Let me call you back to the previous episode we reviewed, The Impenetrable Web, where said missiles penetrated said impenetrable web when every weapon on the megaship at full power could not. But yet those same missiles can't dent Tankenstein.
Nope. But after the fight, obviously Andrus and Ashley are captured as well, sent to the desert, and also are cut off from the mega ship. Zane shows up out of nowhere. He's morphed,
Ow.
and then somehow they're able to morph.
Right, but how does Zane show up? Because they don't know where the Power Rangers are.
In my, I literally wrote down my, in my note, oh, look, it's Zane from out of nowhere.
I wrote, oh, yay, Zane's here. Can you hear me audibly rolling my eyes?
Listen, at least I was able to throw in at least one evolution member reference in
That's
my
true.
notes.
But like, this is the thing, is the whole point is when Cassie and TJ and Carlos disappeared, they couldn't track where they went, right? So how does Zane know where to go?
Zane is a cheat code.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
I mean, we see this 2 episodes in a row now with this go-kart. He has become a cheat code.
And then the go-kart shoots Tankenstein and it explodes. So the go-kart is stronger than the Battleizer.
But then, of course, you get the Zord battle, which the Rangers barely eke out a victory.
Yeah.
Like, they ended up like almost self-destructing the Mega Voyager in the final moment of the battle to defeat the
For the
monster.
second season in a row, TJ goes, well, what if we blew it up?
I think we need to have a conversation with TJ.
Yeah, I think that
His
being your first sort of that's first sort of go to is kind of bad. One thing I do want to underline is there's a moment in the Zord fight where Tankston gets his arm cut off and just regrows it. And I'm like, why didn't you do that when you got blown up earlier?
Yeah, because like if I remember right, was it? I'm trying to remember which battle it was. If it was the Impenetrable Web or Line in the Sand, but there was like a moment where the Ranger Zord had an arm missing.
It's an impenetrable.
Impenetrable
It's in this
Web.
one.
Yeah, okay.
It's in this one.
In this one, yeah.
It's
And
right
I'm
before
like,
they grab him and fly into the sky.
yeah, and I'm like looking at it, going like, man. If only the rest of the episode was as cool as this fight a little bit there, where it's
Yeah.
like, you lose an arm and then you have to do that ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to say that in both this and Impenetrable Web. The Zorvites kind of are the best parts of the entire episode, which is a weird change. But especially there's a couple of scenes There's one in Impenetrable Web with the remains of the Delta Megazord. There's one here with the remains of the Mega Voyager, where the Rangers are walking through like the blown up Zords, right? And for such short shots, the set crew could have done a much, much worse job. But the sets are really cool. They're really nicely appropriated blown up Zord sets, right? So A plus the set design for that one. But yeah, Line in the Sand comes down to the fact that you could literally replace the first 21 minutes of the episode with, actually, you could probably replace the entire episode with just a title card that said the Astro Megazord got blown up.
And
And
just leave it up there for 22 minutes.
yeah. And that would be better than what we got. This episode offends me. Like, heavily offends me.
Like I said, maybe if they had flipped Impenetrable Web and A Line in the Sand,
Yeah. Or
and
even
then,
just the Ranger parts.
yeah.
Flip the Ranger parts.
Well, that's what I mean. You kind
Yeah.
of. Like you kind of flip the storyline a little bit there, and that way it's notice that both of them involve a desert.
Yeah.
Forza was a desert, and then they got sent to a barren desert by Tankenstein.
Both involve the Rangers not being morphed much.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and when they are, it's very minimal, and.
So, yeah. And Zane has to save the day. Anyway, you want to hear Brian's notes on this one?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
He didn't send me quite as much on this episode.
So he didn't send you 27 pages? Like, oh my
No,
God, why?
because I'd already because he'd already sent me Impenetrable Web at this point, and I went, look, man, I don't need the whole thing. If you like, that's your thing. It works when you are hosting because you can pull it off. I can't talk about Sentai knowledgeably. I'm just reading it off a page. Right. So he sends me a thing that says, there's a note that I want to bring up, that in Japan, they don't number their episodes. They tend to just call them final. Which is because the only stuff that really is used from this episode is the Zord footage, right? In which is taken from the final episode of Mega Ranger called Seize It, Our Diplomas, Episode 50. Or final episode, Seize It, Our Diplomas, which is Episode 50 of the season. Dr. Hinlier arrives on Earth in his monster form, which would look familiar if you've seen the episode. It is the one that we will see next season as Furio in Lost Galaxy, apparently. Eventually, the Astro Mega Ship and Zord would be repaired. The Galaxy Mega is permanent state of destruction. So, as we mentioned with the Power Rangers episode, they mentioned that the Galaxy, the Astro Mega Ship had been damaged last episode. And then they never mentioned that it's repaired. That's just assumed. The vast majority of the Ranger fight footage is simply never used in space, as again, the villain suit doesn't show up until Lost Galaxy, and it would be hard to edit around the fact that Professor Kubota is in the background for about 98% of these shots. The main motivation that the Mega Rangers have is to stop Dr. Hinlier's plot to destroy the Earth and to get to graduation and get their diplomas, which a friend of theirs is trying to delay so they can walk the stage. Is that common in Sentai? Because you've watched a bit more Sentai than I have.
Like the graduation thing or
It's like their main focus is to save the Earth and graduate. Surely your main focus should be save the Earth, then graduate.
I mean it kind of depends on the Sentai itself. because obviously each Sentai is a little different from the other. Because, like, obviously, if you look at Gyuranger, which is what Mighty Morphin is based off of, these are actually, like, in a way, deities or descendants and stuff like that. Like, you look at Kakuranger, which is what the Alien Rangers came from, you know, they are the descendants of the ancestors within their clans, you know, coming together and stuff like that. So, like, when they end it for like those ones, it's more like the Jew Rangers just kind of go away. The Kaku Rangers just continue on down the road doing like normal things, you know. So, like, each different Sentai season has its own like little thing. So, like, for this one, obviously, they were, you know, in an academy. I wouldn't, you know, Time Force, or Time Ranger, I think is the only one that's as closest as possible to what the Sentai and Power Rangers actually is when it comes to a decent amount of that stuff.
Right, so back to Brian's notes. The monster Tankenstein in A Line in the Sand is actually Dr. Hindley's own personal mecha, complete with a cockpit footage that is absent from Power Rangers. And the final battle between him and the Mega Rangers has Mozart playing in the background.
Fancy.
We learn why Dr. Hindley became a villain. He was trying to enhance the human body so it could last in both space and other hazardous environments. His research led to promising results, leading him to experiment on his daughter, who volunteered to do so. However, she died during the experimental surgery, making him one of the most hated men in Japan. Hinler and Kubota's differences in ideologies, it seems, was that Mega Ranger suits were meant to address the same problem stated as above, with a scientifically enhanced suit instead, which Hinley despised and saw as inferior science to his own. This relationship is very much like Dr. Light and Dr. Wily's from Mega Man, originally friends and colleagues that became bitter rivals and enemies when their worldviews and ideas about scientific progress and who should benefit from it came to a head. The Mega Voyager mecha loses an arm in battle, and the fight heads towards the Rangers' school, putting the graduation and students at risk. With the Rangers on the ropes, the crowd begins to cheer them on. However, unlike in space, where the crowd stands up with the Rangers in the final battle, this same crowd despised and hated the Mega Rangers up to this point. But hearing their rallying cries make the Mega Rangers push through, even if an energy surge causes them to be demorphed in the process. The Mega Rangers launch the Mega Voyager in the air with Dr. Hinlier's mecha attached. Blows up, seemingly killing them all in the process. The graduation takes place with everyone believing they're dead. Once the Red Ranger's name is called out loud, he and the other Mega Rangers arrive at the auditorium on their galaxy gliders, land on the stage, do their Ranger pose and roam call for the final time this season, take off their helmets, which has become a bit of a tradition in Super Sentai for the final episode, and explain how they escaped, thanking everyone for cheering them on, and finally accept their diplomas with everybody cheering.
Don't know 100% about the taking the helmets off thing in Sentai at the end, because, and I'll use Kakuranger because that's the one I saw more recently. Like, occasionally, you know, there will be times where like a kid knows which one is a ranger and stuff like that because of the events of that episode. You know, they're with the kid and then they're like, oh, go run, and you know, morph, or like the kid gets captured and they go after him and then morph in front of the kid as the kid's getting captured, so the kid kind of knows. So it's like, it's more like that. It's never like, oh, we're just going to unveil our true identities to everybody and stuff like that. So, but they have done the everyone hates the Rangers thing, and it was actually done, I believe, in Gyuranger for a little bit. And you know, and it's obviously a re-looped thing because you can't. There's only so many ideas you can come up with. So, but
And I
yeah.
quite like there's some sort of traditions like that in Ranger, like.
Yeah, I mean, unless that became a tradition in some of the later seasons, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah,
But yeah, long
virtually.
story short, Long story short, Line in the Sand might be one of the worst episodes of Power Rangers ever made. And it is the penultimate episode of In Space, one of the most famously fan-loved seasons of all time. All right, well, let's wrap up. It's been a bit of a recording. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Final thoughts, Mike?
These episodes happen, maybe not in the right order, though.
Of all the episodes of Power Rangers, these are definitely two of them.
Maybe not in the right order.
Yeah. All right, Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
Pretty much all social media at this point now is at the Lindenbaum 75. Obviously, Facebook is facebook.com/x75productions. We now have everything for VFTG. Everything for VFTG should just be at VFTG underscore PR. If you're on Blue Sky, just look up Voices from the Grid on there, because the Blue Sky handles are just too much to say. Yeah, everything also is on txhdhockey.com.
Awesome. For me, you'll find me doing the video game thing over on twitch.tv/321_TV. Socials wise, you can find me on Blue Sky at Bob T Goldfish. And I am also at Bob T Goldfish over on Mastodon, in which I use the kind.social server. Yeah. So we will leave you, as we always do, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, by saying, guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all of those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace.